You're listening to the Art of Living Well podcast with Father Ian Van Heusen.
Hey, good to see everyone. Father Ian Van Heusen here. And I want to talk a little bit about happiness before I get into the question of heaven. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, actually you guys are a little bit younger, so maybe you still have this. I had my favorite dish that my mom would make. She would make me fried rice. I loved fried rice. I loved my mom's fried rice. I also love it. We'd go to Chinese restaurants and it would drive my mom crazy because I would only get fried rice. I'd fill up my, she's like, look, we're at this all-you-can-eat buffet. You should be eating things that are worth a little bit more. And finally my sister was like, look, just let him eat his fried rice. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I just love my fried rice. So there's that kind of happiness that you get from food and from pleasure. But then also, as I got older, I loved soccer as well. But if you really look at the difference between food and pleasure and soccer, I would actually spend hours practicing, and it could be very uncomfortable. So you would stretch yourself, right? At the end of practice, you would do suicides. In the game, you'd be tired. You'd really exert yourself and extend yourself for the sake of the game, right? And so that was a different kind of happiness, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, as they often say. So there's a sense that there was a kind of happiness that came from something that was a little bit deeper, that was with sports. And then as I started to get older, I started to realize and delight in spiritual things. That's in the Mass, in prayer, in meditation. And that's a different kind of happiness than the things of soccer and then also food. And I think we could really understand that as a hierarchy of goods and how we understand happiness. So the basic one, food, comfort, pleasure, those are kind of animal instincts, right? So even as you get older, a little bit of alcohol or whatever, like beer and wine, those are things that are more physical and they're tied with our emotions as well. The traditional classical thought is that our emotions are tied with our body. So if we're looking at that, we share that with animals. So I have a dog, Tim has seen my dog, and everybody's seen my dog. He's an Anatolian Shepherd, he's a big guy. And whenever he eats or goes for a walk, he's the most exciting thing in the world. For him, his whole life is pleasure and comfort. He just loves food, he loves snacks, and you know, he can be having the worst day and suffering a lot, and as soon as he has food and a little bit of snacks, he's already happy again, right? We recognize we're a little bit deeper than animals. We're not as simple. We need relationships. We need striving. We need excellence. The second group of kinds of ways that we can understand happiness that are things that are human and natural, but that we don't need Jesus for necessarily. So you'll notice around you in the culture, you'll notice in the broader world, there are many people who strive for excellence. They may be good at what they do, you know, folks like Elon Musk or these other people who have a lot of good qualities to themselves. They're not living according to God's law, but they have a lot of natural good qualities and they have a relative amount of happiness. That is, they have friendships, they have relationships, they have meaningful careers. And you can see that with a whole group of people. But that happiness, again, is very limited. It's not the fullness of happiness. And the way I would say this is, can you be happy on your worst day? That is, can you be happy if you lose your job, you lose everything, you're suffering, you're in pain? You might be saying, well, how could you be happy in those situations? I often give people this exercise. I say, imagine Jesus on the cross. Is he full of love and is he full of happiness? And in a strange and mysterious way, yes. Why? Because he knows that he's sacrificing himself for atonement for our sins, that he's saving us, that what he's doing is having a greater purpose, but also because he's connected with the Father. You know, Jesus is God. He's equal with the Father for all eternity in the Holy Spirit. And when he's on the cross, he's sharing the fullness of divine life, and yet he's mysteriously at the same time suffering in his humanity. This is the paradox of the cross, that each one of us are called to live in a mysterious and hidden way. And this is a preparation for the happiness of heaven. Heaven is deeper than the happiness of an animal, of the flesh. It's deeper than the happiness even of friendships and relationships. It's a spiritual happiness that no eye has seen nor ear has heard. Now, the book of Revelation allows us to imagine a golden city, a city that's perfectly square, where God shines light, brilliant light. We see all those different descriptions of heaven, but I want you to meditate that you're not created for this world, that your happiness must be grounded in Jesus Christ, not in the things of the flesh, not in the animal instincts, not even in the things that are proper to humans, but in a deeper spiritual way. The heights of this happiness in this world is the mysterious gift of contemplation. That is when we rest with the Lord, when we learn to, and this gift is a great gift of God's grace that we should all strive after. And it takes years of entering into silence and solitude. And it's an anticipation of the glory of heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Think about that. Think about the glory that awaits those who persevere to the end. And if you realize that for all eternity, you can live with God, and the joy and the happiness that would bring, you would endure all kinds of sufferings. You'd be willing to sacrifice everything for that sake of that happiness. Are you willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of heaven? Amen.